Carla Poor starting to knuckle down. Military mission fighting back on the rails. And then came more felons. It's Carla Poor in front of the 100. Carla Poor from more felons. Carla Poor kicking from more felons. Carla Poor clinging on. And Carla Poor won the tank ready. But another well's drawn too. Three lanes clear here in the Doncaster Prelude. Backed off the map. Good horse. Keeps raising the bar and another well destroys them. Tutta La Vida still in front. Now Orchestral. Her class is starting to shine through. And Orchestral raced to the lead and takes out the Vinery Stud Stakes.
Pride of Jenny, she can run through walls at the 150, but a tissue and Cascadian are coming at her. Pride of Jenny at the 100, Cascadian wearing her down. Pride of Jenny at the 50, Cascadian's got up to her. Cascadian back to back. Cascadian just beat Pride of Jenny. Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? Now he goes for Estriella, and she pings away. She's 2.5 lengths in front. She's too good. Estriella, brilliant. But it's See What I See, 100 metres to go, hands and heels, drives away, believe what you see, see what you see, won it really well.
And now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfe.
Did you see what we saw? It was six great races there on Sunday. Three Group 1s and three emerging stars. Or are they? Estriella. Another will. See what I see. Hunters and Collectors there. And, of course, the calls of Darren Flindell and Matt Hill, courtesy of Sky Racing and Racing.com, respectively. Good morning, Vince Accardi.
Good morning, Ralphie.
Well, they were pretty exciting, those three emerging horses, but we'll start with the Group 1s and we'll start at Rose Hill as well. How did Rose Hill play?
Well, firstly, let's have a look at the it's really interesting. At first I said, what's going on here where they're winning, right? But it was no surprise.
As in on bases.
Yeah. I mean, here we are. Races 1 to 3. Lane 7 and 9.
This is with the rail out 6.
Yep, that's with the rail out 6. And then from race 4 onwards, we were anywhere from 10 to 14. And they were all back markers, midfielders. There were a couple on paces. So, yeah, very interesting as far as that part goes. And then as far as the track played itself in terms of performance, well, not too bad. You know, we started off the day with like a minus 1.1 and then it was 0.6 below benchmark all the way through until we got to race 5, Ralphie. And then, well, maybe it was just all the good horses, Ralphie. It got pretty hot in the kitchen. We went plus 3, plus 6, pace-related race when they're going hurdle speed, minus 5. But I felt the track played much better than all the other weeks and we were definitely in that, you know, good firm ground.
All right, well, the first of the Group 1s was the Vinery and that was in race 7, of course. Won by Orchestral. Did you want to take the deep odds on halfway up the straight? Definitely not. You were keen with the place on side Zardozi, who ran well. And the one that we said on the Friday was insane odds was Tutta La Vida at $26. Well, it ended up being $12 and $11, and Nash nearly pinched it. Why were the margins so tight for a tight price horse like Orchestral?
Well, firstly, yeah, this is a very interesting race, actually. Lead speed, 13.1 lengths below benchmark, Ralphie. That's the starting point.
On a genuinely good track?
Yep, on a genuinely good track. So absolutely. They're walking. And then you have a look at Orchestra. It's running 16.9 lengths below benchmark. Tutta La Vida, 15.1. Zardozi, 18 lengths below benchmark. So that's the pack, right? And the spread's not that big. It's less than 6 lengths from first to last. Oh, well, sorry, I've excluded a couple of horses. I mean, the slowest horse was travelling 20 lengths below benchmark. Then it was big, big move in the mid-race, typical of what we see, Ralphie. The mid-race move for Orchestral was 22.6 lengths, going from 16.9 lengths below benchmark to plus 5.8. And I have to say, you know, pretty brilliant over the last 400 to match the 5.7 above benchmark last 400 as well. So that was high pressure. Tutor La Vida had to sort of probably may have lost the race if you're sort of comparing the two horses in that move. 6.9 lengths above benchmark between the 8 and the 4. Really weird. Like the full extension of the horse was probably 8 to the 6, and then it started to drop out. And if I look at the pressure that, and the loss of speed from the 600 metres to the finish line, it was around 2.5 lengths, Ralphie, compared to the winner who actually gained 3/4 of a length. But it was all about the ride. And then I sort of course, when I look at Zadosi, which is the horse I did personally back myself, it's so amazing when you see these riders. Like, he had a plan. It was follow J-Mac. But there was a point in the race. See,
there was no other plan, though, was there?
No, there was no other plan. And really, there was a point where I'm pretending to be a rider, Ralphie. I'm not a rider, though, right? And I can't profess I haven't got the courage to be a rider. Nor am I even remotely slim enough for it, right? And the reality was, I said, go. And he didn't. And he's just following, right?
Yep.
And then you're at J-Mac's whim, and you'll see it happen. The transition just inside that 8, he takes off. He puts 2.5 on it, and he couldn't make that ground back because you're at his mercy when you don't really know exactly when J-Mac's going to go.
And so a couple of quotes here because I want your context as far as the data matching what the writers said here. This is from the Race New South Wales website. J-Mac, she took the last bend a little bit awkwardly. Fast ground, she had to really dig deep and wasn't to our liking. The slowly run race wasn't really to our liking. Stepping up in trip is just going to be perfect for her compared to Tom Markland, who said she has run great. Obviously, would have loved a bit more pace. I thought when Nash sprung it on, it might help us at last 100, but the winner is a very good filly. Looking forward to a couple of weeks, which, of course, is when these two will clash in the Oaks.
Yeah, that'll be – well, we could be in the same scenario, no pace race, right?
Yep.
But this is extremely no
could be
pace.
A heavy track too.
Oh, geez, you're scaring me now, Ralphie.
And the weather's coming.
Is it really?
Yeah.
God. Well, I'm going to stay positive for now and not think about that part just yet. But, yeah, this is probably helped some horses as well. Tutor La Vida got some help from there. It was still a good performance overall. But I just felt the rider overextended at the wrong point. But what do you do? At some stage, you probably feel like, when do I go? Here's my chance to win. And got run down. It's a fair horse. I mean, overall performance of Kestrel, 0.4 below benchmark. No surprise, Ralphie, right? And how much can you really add, change, and adjust? Well, not much.
Well, this is the thing. So for those who didn't get our Friday work, you were saying that at the moment she ain't the superstar that she's looking in New Zealand according to the clock. Zardozi, very promising, and that's why you're more than happy to just be placed on side Zardozi, a little bit the win, and hopefully it beats it. So you made a profit out of the race. But the point being that Zardozi's definitely on the up. Did either of these two horses teach you anything other than it was a slow-paced race and they produced that monster mid-race?
Well, yeah, what it teaches
always learning in every race.
Yeah, what it teaches you is, Mark, well, to be at least as good a rider, Jay, mate, how about having your own plan, son?
Right.
Yeah, have your own plan, because if he had his own plan, because what should have happened, and again, it's me talking, Ralphie, he should have taken off just inside the 1,000-metre mark,
yep.
And he actually would have snookered Orchestral, because he did make ground on the horse, right, and he actually would have beaten it. So there's just purely off that, if you look at that, because that's where the real handicap comes into play, it's that variation, right, he's giving it ultimately, instead of being 1.1 lengths behind it at the 800-metre mark, and then J-Mac takes off and actually puts a couple on it, a bit more than two lengths, he would actually been in front of it and snookered it. And the game changes, Ralphie.
I guess that's a reflection of the fact that even though this is a Group 1, the grand final's in 2 weeks.
Yes, well, I hear you, Ralphie. You're very good at knowing those things, and I understand.
They both ran the 7th best last 600 of the day, so it probably tells you there ain't much between them.
No, there isn't a lot between them, and that's probably a closer reflection. And Tutor La Vida, as you touched on, Ralphie, in the podcast, really did make that beautiful step up and was pretty competitive as well.
All right, the Tancred, It's got a fair honour roll, the Tancred. Good on the connections of Carlapore. It was spec'd 41s to 31s. How did a horse with this profile with the Group 1 Tancred?
Well, firstly, overall performance, 0.9 above benchmark. Crazy part's this, Ralphie. I know it was a big day with a lot of good racing. It was actually the fifth best performance of the day. That surprised me. It did. It surprised me.
As in a mark like that shouldn't be the fifth best performance of the day.
Well, no, not on this type of race shape either, right? Yeah, it just, I didn't expect that. Maybe that's a sign that these horses ran fantastically well, and this is hence the reason. And when you put the mirror in, I mean, Calipore, 6.8 lengths below benchmark first section, 5 lengths above between the 8 and the 4. That's solid, right? It is. I mean, they're going a lot faster than the previous race. And then overall last 400 metres, plus 2.7. Hard to knock when you look at that. And more Fallons, I mean, I guess everything was as good as the winner. And just that handicapping gap at the 800-metre mark was probably the difference between the two horses. Now, in terms of their, you know, why did they win? Well, that's probably why Calipore won. It's, you know, it's 0.9 above benchmark. You know, post-impressionism is miles off. But I suspected this horse could be flat, but I don't know, was there anything else wrong with it? Because it did nothing in the finish either.
Yeah, in the stewards report? Yeah, I'll just look that up. I did get the quotes out. But just in the meantime, more Fallons aimed at the Sydney Cup. We put a big circle around it first up, and it was 5 weeks between runs. I'm sure Chris Waller would be absolutely delighted with that one.
Yeah, that was a really good performance, Ralphie. But of course, if we look at it on the scorecard, the plus for those for that team is it actually has now eclipsed its previous PB, which I feel is always a positive sign and where it is in its campaign. You expect this horse should be going upwards. There was, you know, a pretty high pressure in the mid and the late. When's their next race, Ralph? Is it a couple of weeks away or is it next week?
I'm pretty sure the Sydney Cup's in 2 weeks.
And they're going to be up against that Vista horse?
The one from last week?
Yeah.
No, they'll go to the Queen Elizabeth.
They're going in different races. All right, yep. Well, that's a great race, Ralphie, for them to be targeting. And, yeah, let's see what happens when that race comes up.
Fee Sustainer, you're referring to. Post-impressionist. When questioned, Tom Markin said, post-impressionist at all backfield, similar to last start. He said that at the 600, he commenced to apply some pressure to the horse, endeavour to make up ground. He was concerned there was little response. It responded, race flat. It, in his view, did not back up. The stable representative said, pulled up well, pleased the stable, which prompted a decision running today's race. She said it was apparent the gelding had not backed up. Veterinary examination did not reveal any abnormalities.
Well, that then just confirmed the possibility. Even we touched on this in the podcast. I mean, it's hard to write negative about the horse, right?
Yeah.
The reality was you had to be concerned. It was a big run first up. And of course, the possibility of flatness. The speed, I felt, could have helped the horse. And I guess if we're looking at the squeeze in the mid-race, it was pretty solid. And the horse, again, if I look at it from the 800 metres to the 600 to the finish line, the horse has lost almost 6 lengths of velocity, Ralph. I mean, that's like, man, he couldn't get out of the ground. He didn't warm up.
It does also say, and the one thing that had you cold on race morning was, you know, is this its grand final or what's the point here? So I wonder if they still run in the Sydney Cup, I wouldn't be jumping off it.
No. Well, Ralphie, the horse is genuinely a plus three horse.
Yes.
Right. And it would have been a very different scenario if you turned the clock back 1 week.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Now, the most exciting horse in the day was another Will.
Oh, wow.
Didn't have a ceiling on it. Has it got a ceiling on it yet?
No, absolutely not. Overall performance, I guess, no surprise, right? 2.5 lengths above benchmark, best of the day, and won as it liked. And really, this was the good part. They're racing almost benchmark first section. Then between the 8 and the 4, the horse improves, not by a great deal. The mid-race squeeze is 1.6, but it's above the benchmark, and the last 400's even stronger. It's 3.7 above. So the horse is just getting faster as the race continues. And I'm pretty sure you said it, Ralphie, like you had to win to go into the Doncaster. Is that right?
Vince, there is no nicer thing on side than the stable needs to win.
Yeah.
That just tells you it's all chips in. Let's not muck around. There's no lead-in runs. It had to win. So that was full confidence.
Well, the beauty is it's going to be obviously a very different price. I mean, I had no intention of backing them. Probably I didn't make it clear enough in the mini podcast. Is the reason why, like I said, no, I'm not going to back it is, see, what happens is you set your stake,
yep.
you prepare your morning like the horse you're going to back, and then at the end of the day, like I'm not a guy, like I work with a structured bank. It's maximum 60 units for the day. That's it.
Yep.
So if you then have to think, well, maybe I will, what? You sort of know, like a horse like this and a couple others, you're not going to get the price. Just put a line through it because all it's going to do is do your head in, because if you then work out your betting for the day and say, okay, well, now I want to back it, well, you ain't got the money. Well, yeah, unless you admit other bets.
Well, and this goes to your philosophy. And in fact, I've been reading a lot about Charlie Munger and so forth. The best strategy is to reduce.
So absolutely.
In other words, just if you're not sure, stay away.
Yeah, and maybe now in the Doncaster, surely it's not going to start at $1.50, right? Or $1.70, right?
Well, here's the thing. So next week, we've had a question from Nathan. Now, we're going to do the preview podcast, and you can get the preview podcast via my website, racetrackralphie.com.au. Must purchase by Friday after 6 o'clock Friday, I'll turn it off. And you have to have bought by then if you want it. So there's the option there. Now, Nathan's asked, not sure if the pod's on this week. Interested to know how another Wills run yesterday compares to Obama, Boomerang, and the Golden Eagle last year. 9 seems overs for the Japanese horse. So we'll break down the race, but what I'll give you is the raw IVR time and the reasons for it we'll discuss during the week. But Obama, Boomerang, 3.0 IVR in the Golden Eagle. And again, on Saturday, Vince, another Will.
2.5 above.
Yep. So on a pure matchup there, with various other reasons that can go into it, but they're not far apart on those two performances. So let's see what happens. When we could have a wet track to talk about as well. So we'll break all that apart. But that was just a super winning performance,
and it was a great race.
Yep.
It really was, and it made it, realistically, for the horse to be a genuine candidate for the Doncaster, it did have to make that pack of horses, and this is no disrespect to this group of horses, had to make them look second rate, and it did.
Yeah. So typical Doncaster, 4 to 5 lengths above benchmark, but this horse is obviously going upwards. We'll break that down, like I said, this Friday. Let's have a look at now some other races there that we'll look at, but we'll look at it in the bonus podcast. If you want the bonus podcast, you're going to be a member. Go to my website and become a Group One member each week. Most weeks we give out a bonus podcast, and we will today because there's so much great racing to talk about. Let's swing over to Fleming and Liam O'Keefe. Got the track perfect, Vince?
Well, he's a good man. That's a question of a statement. Yeah, he's a good man. He's like one. That's why he's one of the best in the game, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. And he really is. And it's like I said when he spoke to me a few weeks ago and talked about the whole scenario with the elevation and the timing and the process. When's it best? So there's no question it was going to be like on point for this. And then if you look at the day and the profile, it was interesting in the sense that those straight races, where did you want to be?
Super wide.
Yeah, super wide. And you could see they're all like 19 to 25 wide. Now, for us form students, we got to understand it does make some of the performances on times look electric, right?
Yeah.
And they may not be as good as that. Not that they're not good horses. I know they were talking about saying the clock and the final time was so close to, past performances, records and this. And the reality is, yeah, but you've got to factor in like a half a second at least for those lanes out there. Minimum. That's the minimum you've got to allow, right? So if you make, it's just like a 100-meter sprint, they make the wind adjustment, Ralphie. You have to have a lane adjustment. And if you don't do that, you can get caught. I'm not saying they're not good horses, like let's say Estrella is an example, but you can get caught.
I'll just pass on one thing that you touched on. I just want to put back the truck over a little bit too, because there was some money to be made, and that is that aeration that day on Australian Guineas Day. Now, we've discussed it, and you'd passed on the communication from Leo O'Keefe. That was the track played significantly slower that day. Do you know what's happened since, Vince? There's been a little bit of gold because the market's underrated the poor times those days.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
Waltz on by, won at Caulfield at ridiculous odds because it ran slow time, I assume. And then on Saturday, he's our Bonneville, who was a drier, the better track horse.
Yep.
Who was playing that day. Well, he rebounded and he paid a super price, and God bless him too. So sometimes just digging into local knowledge and really, really working out what's happening there can provide some value, Vince. So as you said, be it lanes, be it aeration or whatever, you got to really look at the whole day in context. Always.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does help, and it's important. It's not going to be in the form guide, and it's not going to be – you can go – it's not going to be there. You're not going to know that. You're just going to look at the overall performance, say that was huge. And, yes, it was huge on the day, but you've got to adjust.
Let's start with – we'll go three races here from Flemington. Start with See What I See. Really exciting horse of Danny's, four-year-old mare. Trending the right way. At this stage, no big overall time, but, gee, there's been some weird circumstances that have stopped it out of an amazing traffic jam at Moonee Valley where the anchors just completely went on and he was really, actually rather, was really only clear the last 50 metres for Blake Shin. Caulfield Heath, a new track, just new adjustments, I guess, of measuring the times. And then on Saturday, again, really in a pocket and just clear that last 200. So what sort of projections you got for this mare?
Well, it's one of these things. I mean, overall performance, one length below benchmark. You're right, Ralph. It doesn't do it justice. Rank 23 is good, right? Comparing what happened to the horse. Early speed for a 2,000-metre race going near benchmark. That's a good pace, Ralphie, right? But then you've got had to deal with the – what is it? It's gone from 0.7 below to minus 5.1. That's 4.5 lengths slowdown. It's not like – oh, unbelievably crazy. But the reality is that impacts your overall score. And then I did like the acceleration from that point to the finish line. It was plus 3.7. And the horse just got stronger as the race went and didn't really get efficiency in that energy use. It could have easily been above benchmark performance.
So just another one that we really haven't got a ceiling on.
Oh, absolutely not.
The one that we were starting to get a ceiling on, but she's exciting as Estriella up the straight. So there was two absolute robot explosions on Saturday, ignited by the world pull. Another will being one that was $2 race morning, $1.90 officially to I think $1.75 on the day. Started paid $1.45 on the world pull.
So, wow!
I don't know if you saw that one, Vince, but Estriella again. That was another. That was just they stopped backing Estriella when the barriers opened.
Yeah, that was the Hong Kong style, wasn't it? Yeah. Just keep going right to the end. Had they have delayed the race another few minutes, who knows how much money could have been put on it.
Exactly.
But the reality is this. Was the performance fantastic overall? Yes. 2.7 above, fourth best performance of the day. Fantastic. First section, great speed, Ralphie, for 1,100, plus 1.2. Between the 8 and the 4, 3.2 lengths above benchmark. And unbelievably, it held that all the way through to the finish line. And Shin. When I see him, said, you're just way too good for him. He just cruised. Do you think he was going to be not getting out of those lane positions? Impossible. He said, this is all where I stay, and this is where I shall thrash him. And the horse did thrash him. Absolutely made a mess of him. When he let go, and he didn't really let go with any ferocity, he just put them all away, just completely made the rest look second rate.
I think she's going to the Arrowfield in 2 weeks in Sydney, so we'll learn more there. She's only had one start on a slow track and never been on a heavy track too, so who knows what the case is there, but it's a very exciting filly. All right, Vince, leave the best to last. Cascadian, doff the cap. James Cummings, doff the cap. Ben Mellum, Reg Fleming, the master behind-the-scenes guy from James Cummings' era, from Bart Cummings' era, of course, and now with James Cummings. Grand final day for Cascadian. Pride of Jenny made it an exciting race. What did the clock tell us?
Yeah, it's really crazy, and it just goes to show. I would not be predicting this speed, right? Not on the visuals, right? 15.5 lengths above benchmark, Pride of Jenny was still travelling. Like, that's unbelievable.
She looked like she was cruising.
I thought it was going maybe plus 5 or 6, but that's just my imagination because that's what I probably anticipated. But I was miles out. Plus 15.5. Now, is that good or bad, right? This is what we're going to look at, right?
Yeah.
Because the next closest horse, as it turns out, is going 10.4 above, virtually 5 lengths behind it. So you are a lone leader. and then the race pace. This is Cascadium, right? You have to look at it from where's the real pace. So the real pace for the rest of the horses was plus 10.5. Yep. And Cascadian's going 5 above, and Prodigy's the lone leader. Now, when I look at the optics and the way you feel like it was a faultless ride, but unfortunately, just going maybe a couple of lengths too fast, I don't know how you would manage that. I got no idea how you would manage it, but
unfortunately, we're looking at numbers. That's
That's all it is. And unfortunately, the horse couldn't quite hold on. Could it have had something to do with? He was easing the horse, which is not something he has done with this before, right? So he must have known he was going fast, because I look at the 8 to the 6, it's plus 1.4, 6 to the 4, minus 1.9, 4 to the 2, minus 3.6, and doing a little bit of a Nash, last 200, regaining power again, going, you know, picked up speed of about 1.4 lengths. Now, could that 6 length slowdown over that distance be the difference between winning and losing? Had the horse kept going, would it have been so much tougher for the rest? I would have to say, firstly, yes, for sure, right? Because that means if every other horse, like Cascading, for instance, it's going five lengths above benchmark. Between the 8 and the 4, it's still travelling 4.6 above. Now, to be in the race, if prior to Jenny, let's say, didn't slow to the same level and only slowed at half that rate, Cascading would have to go another 3 lengths faster just to hold the same spot it did in the race.
It must be so hard riding a horse like that.
I don't know how you do it. Look, and it's not like you could go and speak to the, you know, the riders, the people that rode the cleaner and Bo Rogue. I don't know how they did it. Right? But they never used to slow, Ralphie.
But here's the thing too. They also, like Bo Rogue famously got beaten by Daddy Dandy. So these things happen in these races on horses at this type of speed.
Well, the interesting thing is I had one of the boys, of course, cheeky of them, say, listen to the podcast. And they said, have you made up your mind which one you're backing? I said, I'm actually staying out, right? Staying out. And they said, good, I'm backing Cascadian. I said, okay, that's a good move. Fair enough. Why not? It's got a chance to get on the podium. It's got value for you because, you know, you've got to get some value. It's hard to have value when you want to back a horse that's short for a place and you're only going to have $50 on it. Now, I'm not saying that's bad, right? But you're going to get excited and say to your wife, we're rich today because we made $10? I don't think so. You've got to have substantially more to justify it, right? But a horse like Cascadian, you don't ever have to have a lot on to have a fantastic day.
Absolutely. So let's pull back a few things here. So Pride of Jenny, 15 and a half lengths above benchmark. That's fast. But Vince, it's other 2,000-meter run. Just remind people, how fast did it actually go that time when Regan Bayless rode it and they asked it to go as fast as possible?
Well, it is much better than that, Ralphie. I can report that for sure. That particular day, it was 23.8.
So not only now has she established herself as a Group 1 star, she was actually a bit more controlled and 8 lengths slower than that. And that was on a soft track too.
Yeah, I was going to say, on a heavy track, not soft.
Insane. So anyway, she's very, let me ask you this way before we get back to Cascadian. If someone had said to you, here you go, Prodigy Jenny's going to run 4.5 lengths above benchmark, you would have had a bet, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. You'd be like over the moon. I mean, this horse, I actually reckon the way the horse ran that race is going to be better at a Cox Plate.
Yeah, it's exciting. It'll be the last Cox Plate at the old Moody Valley track, which will now be held. So I'm glad it's going to be this year, because her wheeling around on that tight track, it's going to be a beauty. Cascadian, though, defended his title. My mindset going in this was he's got to do much better than last year. Now, it didn't mean he couldn't, of course, but last year, Numerian pounding Smoke and Romans, 2.3 lengths above benchmark in winning this race. What do you do on Sunday?
Who's this for?
Cascadian.
Well, overall, 4.8 above.
Just so he smashed what he did last year.
Well, he did smash what he did last year. Now, he had a race matrix figure that was sort of in that plus 4 zone. So the horse on its day had capacity to rise, and it's gone to another level. It absolutely has. I personally feel the ride was just sensational. And it's one of these sad things. This is the pressure, like poor old Craig Williams now, right? Yep. And he is older, right?
I was going to let that go. No worries.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously got schooled for whatever reason, you know, when they last raced. So this time he was close, and he was, right? He was part of the lead speed if you take away Pride of Jenny. But at 10.6 above, you're on death's door, right, for that horse.
So hang on. So because you've opened the door here, I want to really underline this. This is what happens when, and we sit on our backside too, but people sitting on their backside are trying to tell elite jockeys what to do when they don't need to. And by that I mean, righto, you're going to get closer, you're going to get closer. Well, okay, they got closer. What was the difference in speed there compared to Cox Plate lead speed at the 800, Mr. Brightside?
Yes, okay. Well, that's actually
excellent. Let's put the context of this, because we said on Friday, the kryptonite with this horse, he's yet to see a high-pressure 2000. The Cox Plate was unusually modest-paced Cox Plate last year.
Yeah, and this is the big challenge. Drum roll, it's 0.2 below benchmark first section versus plus 10.6.
Kryptonite.
Awful, and really... He should have been where Cascadian was.
This is what I'm saying, that if, were it not for all the criticisms after the All-Star Mile...
He probably would have been there.
He would have been there, and then we would have found out.
Because he would have known Craig. Craig's a sensational rider. He would absolutely know, Oh, man, we're travelling fast. Like, those riders know when you're going fast, they know. They absolutely know. No question. 100%. Oh, and that speed there... That's horrific for the horse, really, Ralphie. I mean, I'm putting it in a really nice context. I mean, the horse has never tasted medicine more than, say, plus four, and that was when it last raced against Pride of Jenny, right? That's hot speed.
Yeah, and couldn't catch her.
No. So, well, what do you do? This is the kryptonite in horses and what it can do to them, and it can unravel their superstardom.
Well, we for instance, and I know it's, we're talking sprinter versus middle distance to state the obvious, but we always said this with Nature Strip. You put him under two Bunsen burner first sections, that was as great a horse as he was, that was his kryptonite. They've all got him except for the podium horses in Maccabi, Black Aviara, Wigs. Every other horse, they've got some form of kryptonite.
Yeah, and those horses come once every 10 or 20 years.
Yep. 100%. Yep, absolutely. Great. So back to the winner. So, the judgment of pace. And Ben Mellon, at times, and I'm not being a smart aleck here, has been his worst enemy off track. But on track, he's just a phenomenally good rider when he's on, and he seems to be at this stage of his career, which is fantastic.
Well, the beauty is if he gets given the opportunity to be on the good horses when they're there, and he usually does, right?
Yep.
And if they're on point, and this was one horse that you could say with the Blue Jackets, right?
Yep.
Is on point. I'm looking forward to when we talk about the podcast, so that this is the one for the members, because I'd like to touch on a few things about, like, listening to Mr. Cummings, right, what he was saying about some other horses. Very interesting. But this horse was trending in that direction, right, upwards motion, and really stepped up. And he's quite capable horse of 2,000 metres, and they got the judgment of pace to perfection. Absolutely. And where do you want to be? You really did want to be 3 to 6 lengths off that real pace of 10.5.
Yeah, and I remember when we did the pod earlier this autumn. You mentioned about how well he'd trialed and what he'd look forward to. He started off in traffic. We actually put him in Sizzlers. I'll put that on the front page of our website so you can access it. So this horse had been going really well, and when we peel back one other thing, which is really important, I think in races, is probably why. They let you on the two favourites, and they wanted to gravitate to a tissue and Cascadian, as far as, you know, they're both in the market. They were wide at prices, but they were in the market. Pride of Jenny and Mr. Brightside were aimed to peak on All-Star Mile Day. Now, Pride of Jenny's done a phenomenal job, but who, Cascadian and Tissue, this was their grand final. So it's always important we always say trainer's intent. Grand final day was for Cascadian on Saturday, and Pride of Jenny and Mr. Brightside, their grand final was the start prior.
Yeah. Well, the beauty is this. Firstly, for Pride of Jenny, I mean, we said it in the podcast, right, prior to the Saturday morning, that all the hallmarks were there, that Pride of Jenny's got the wood on the bright side. It's got the wood on it, Ralphie, because this horse has just gotten so much stronger. And as we've seen this for more than a decade, you and I.
Well, we mentioned three of them just before.
They just keep getting better. Not all of them. Right?
Good ones.
The good ones. And Pride of Jenny is doing that. I mean, this is remarkable still what it did. And I personally believe, right, that it's slight inefficiency from the just inside the 800 to the 200 meter mark, Ralphie, definitely cost the horse from winning 100%. Now, how do you adjust that? I have no idea, right?
But well, look at the numbers, that's it. Yeah.
Now they really know. You see, they got schooled once, but now they really know its true potential at 2,000. They'll be able to be a little bit more tactical into the future when they attempt this distance, because they now know this horse absolutely gets 2,000.
Well, we might see it in 2 weeks against VS Astina.
Really? They're going to... Yes. Oh, well, of course, why wouldn't he?
That will be exciting. We love talking about good horses. We're going to talk some more good horses in our bonus podcast for our members. But in the meantime, thanks so much for listening to our year-round carnival preview podcast. If you want our big look at the Randwick start of their 3 week of Group 1 racing, starting with a great Doncaster, the TJ Smith, the Size Produce, and the Derby this week, you can go to my website, racetrackralphie.com.au, or Vince Accardi's work via dailysectionals.com.au.